I gave your mama a fee floating shock mount. Sorry.
What was that?
Is it, have you not heard? Maybe it's a British thing.
You mean your mom jokes? You think your mom jokes are a British thing?
No.
We have this thing called your mama jokes. You may not know them in America.
Yeah,
pretty obscure. It involves insulting one's mother.
They're really deep.
Hello and welcome to Keyframes, a podcast about anime. I'm your host, Ben Halliburton, and with me today are Andy.
Hi.
And John.
Hello.
It's been a long time since we've done a traditional recording, but I'm excited to be back, certainly. I miss this podcast a lot. I said that in the last in-between episode, too. I miss this podcast.
I'm fucking stoked. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Yeah.
And it's funny because I've been in kind of an anime slump, and maybe that's actually related to the fact that we haven't been recording much, because I'm watching Space Runaway Ideon still, and that's kind of whatever, and I've been watching Urusei Yatsura, and that's kind of whatever, and I've been watching Turn A Gundam, which is good but slow and 50 episodes. But the thing I've actually been enjoying the most the past few months has been another Sanrio joint. I know that I gushed to you, Andy, about a show by Rock, and to you listeners too.
Wait, that's so now I didn't know that was a...
Yeah,
I thought that was just a different thing.
Yeah. You can definitely tell it is when they have the musical scenes, because it turns to CG and they become like little like Sanrio characters.
Yeah, we forgot. I've watched the first episode since that rant, and I forgot that it was Sanrio. Maybe you didn't mention it, and I was just like, when it got to the bit when Sanrio came in, I was like, what the fuck? Why is it all this? And I was like, oh, Sanrio, and I saw the credits. I'm like, right, okay, that makes sense. I get it now.
It's kind of the thing that they do now, though. They have this sort of, they've gone from like Hello Kitty, like super soft, edge, not like no sharp edges characters, and now they're like more and more doing kind of like subversive stuff,
like Gudetama, like, the lazy
like Gudetama.
Egg.
Yeah, exactly.
But they still do shit like Pom Pom Puddin, which is just a fucking puddin dog, which is adorable as fuck, and he has a beret. Like that's it.
I mean, yeah, but like Show by Rock had like a lot of weird edges where like the Visual K band that was this massive joke, and the guy that like is a salaryman and a rock star at night. But so I've been watching Aggressive Retsuko, which is now. It's about to air its 75th episode. They're Jesus. About a minute and 30 seconds each.
Yeah.
No credits. Just like a quick short. And they're very simple. It's Retsuko is a... I can't tell if you're about to yawn or sneeze, John.
No, it was yawn. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
Okay. It looked really intense. cut this part.
I've seen exactly one episode of Retsuko, and it was, I'm assuming... that it was Retsuko following her grandma, and her grandma got pissed off because Retsuko kept hassling her, and then she started screaming in death metal voice.
Yes, that's the framework. Retsuko is a 25-year-old red panda office assistant working in an industry that she loves, but she is easily frustrated, and she deals with a lot of actually kind of like... There's a really good New York Times article about how it's kind of like anti-capitalism, because... she deals with a lot of sexism and condescension from bosses and older coworkers.
This is in the New York Times?
Yeah, there's a New York Times article. Huh. I can link it in the show notes. I'll remember to do that. But yeah, so she's like, and her bosses don't care about how talented she is and like don't respect her either because she's a woman or because she's their junior.
She's a raccoon.
She has to sacrifice her social life for even a modicum of professional success. All her friendships are kind of shallow and unsatisfying. She doesn't really have time because of all her work to like enjoy life at all. Mm. And so every episode is like, she's doing something frustrating happens. And then it's unclear if she either fantasizes about or after work goes to a karaoke bar and like sings death metal about how like they suck and she deserves better than this and like get fucked. And that's the end of the episode. And every single episode is like that. It's just like something annoying happens to her. So it sounds really repetitive, but like a lot of the stuff is really, really well realized and really like true to life, which is ridiculous when it's an office full of like, it's something that I think Andy would probably like, where all the character names are like puns.
Yes.
Like, cause they're all different animals. And so there's like Eagle Accountant and like they're all like alliterative is the usual translation. Like,
yeah.
Like Bull Boss and stuff like that. But, nice. But, yeah. So it's just really like, it's her, talking shit about her boss in the lunchroom, and then her boss turns around and is like, I didn't know you thought about me that way. And she's like, oh, that was a joke. And then she's like, what the fuck did you say? And she has like a death metal thing about like you heard me talking about you and just let me keep going, blah blah blah. And then yeah, or she, it's Christmas and she goes out and buys a bottle of sake and then like sings death metal about how like the season sucks and she's going to order two servings of fried squid and get as trashed as she possibly can before having to go back to work tomorrow, which is like pretty good. Yeah. And like, yeah, like walking her grandmother and she's like asking her if like, oh, she's too slow, or is it too hot for you? And the grandma's like, I walk every day, like has a death metal thing about how like, you know, I get up at 5 and walk 2 miles to the store every day and you don't know shit. It's a good show. That's the thing. It's like, I was kind of trepidatious about talking about it because like, it's good. Yeah. You can watch every single episode and it'll take you 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you'll be all the way caught up. But
yeah, the thing I've always wondered about shorts is because I'm kind of watching a couple. I jumped into TQ, which is, like you said, it's like 2 minutes and it's just ridiculously funny. And I don't really have much to say on it apart from it's really funny. And also Pico Taro's Lullaby Lullaby, which is the fucking weirdest name ever.
It's not that weird for Japanese titles. Yeah.
No, it's about, I mean, I can tell you what it is. It's amazing. It's, you know, the Pen Pineapple Apple Pen guy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
it's his anime, but it's directed and drawn by the guy who did Ando no Mori, Mr. Ando of the Woods, and who's like one of my favorite. He's got this really unique visual style of sort of like weird pen drawn like stillness with like odd like overly realistic sort of like curvature faces, and it's this really bizarre comedy which is like 2 minutes long, and it's like a usually just like a parody on people's like on like a fairy tale story. So there's the one about like the one the other day was about the wind, you know, the story about the wind and the sun, and the wind does a bet to get the sun to blow that guy's coat off, you know that one?
Vaguely. I mean, you might as well tell it because
well, okay, so the original thing is that there's the wind, the north wind has a bet with the sun to blow a man's, who's walking down a path, like a path, blow a man's coat off, and then the wind tries to blow it off and he can do it, and then the sun gets hot and then the guy takes off the coat, and
all right, yeah,
that's literally it. And then, but in this one, the north wind blows and then it just cuts to the guy and someone's just pulling his coat off and he's like, no, you're cheating, you got that thing like and it's like this really bizarre, it's like you said, like 3 minutes, and it's really, I find it really funny. But I've always wondered, when do they air those things and like how do they get an audience? And like
cause... I mean, I understand that they're usually between airing blocks. But like, I don't think anyone actually watches them live. Like, Agretzko for a while was being uploaded on YouTube simultaneously with airing. And then obviously someone at Sanrio had like a heart attack about all the monetization they're losing because it got taken all, most of it's off YouTube. It's actually kind of hard to find.
Right.
And like, I was looking at the My Anime List page and there's no cast or crew credits. And apparently that's on purpose to just make it like more of a product and less of a work of art, which is different from like some shorts. Although I don't know if I could say off the top of my head like who like does TQ, but TQ is also weird. It's about a tennis club that never plays tennis. But,
and it's, yeah, it's like a, I mean, I always wondered if it was like, you know, those like those chat shows, those like host, those like the massive chat shows. I always wonder whether they like played it in between them when they were sort of like changing set or setting something up. Like, that was my like potential take, but like, I just had no idea. It's just always really interesting me as to when they would air those like random things. Because it's not like, I mean, they're not even this, they're not like an advert break worthy. They're kind of a bit more than that. So they must be sort of like a scheduled slot somewhere for something. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might be like at the end of a 30-minute block if they don't have enough. Advertisers, they just stick it in there or something.
Do you remember, I feel like you watched Andy OG or Marshmallow OG-san or something like that.
Oh, yes. Marshmallow.
Okay, so
yeah.
I know that that was part of a block of shorter things, although I think that's longer than a couple minutes, so it might not qualify. Yeah. But like, I remember that back then, that along with two other things, I think, were part of a block of shorter shows, and it might be possible that they fitted in with things like that.
Oh, yeah. That's funny, because that's how Cartoon Network handles a lot of their shorter shows, is like just having a block of quick shorts.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, because like, I think a lot of the stuff that I've enjoyed a lot over the past couple years in anime has been shorts, because there's just like less time to fuck it up. Like, Luluko is a short, too, and like, TQ is funny, because like, there's no tweening, they don't like waste any time, like, it's literally just a 20-minute episode, but with all a comedy episode with all like every like bit of like non-joke stuff like cut out. It just goes joke.
And like Picotello's Lullaby is also similar, but it's just one screen and it's not really animated. It's just the same pictures that are just sort of like moving left to right, and fucking, it's weird, but it's funny, but it's weird. And it's kind of hard because everybody's like, isn't he just cashing into Pineapple Apple Pen? And you're like, well, yeah, a little bit, but
I mean, probably. But if I was a one hit wonder, I would try really hard to cash in on it before it,
yeah, but
before
like,
it blew over.
To its credit, it's really funny, and it's also got like one of my famous like weird director guys who doesn't really do anything. So the fact that he's got more work makes me happy. So yeah, for that.
Which
reason.
Director?
I actually.
What else has he done?
he did that one about a fart. That,
okay. Well,
God fucking damn it!
Everybody's asking already.
He's done like a load of weird like indie stuff. Like he did Mario Ando of the Woods is the one that I really love, which I've linked you guys, and I know you've all watched it.
uh-huh. Right after Kabuto Borg.
No, it's I can't remember who the director is.
Taniguchi Takashi.
Yes, that sounds right.
I've seen literally nothing that he's ever done, but I do recognize some of these shows that like, yeah, that you talk a lot about.
yeah, that's it. The, I think it's that one. Konnichiwa Onara Gororo, which is about, just a fart that talks, which is
fucking okay. Nude batter Tetsuo.
Okay.
He's a baby.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, to move in an opposite direction from Strange, I think both John and I just finished watching the last episode of Sakura Quest, and I think we have feelings about it. I have feelings, but they're feelings I've expressed a lot lately, so I figure maybe like you should lead with where the show ended up and how you feel about it, John.
I have not finished it yet.
Are you spoiler adverse? Do you need to like go get a soda while we talk?
I mean, I might. I mean, how much of the end are you gonna? I can pretty much. Guess
I'm not even
gonna
talk about it.
You can guess. That's the thing, is you can guess the end. There's two things that could happen, and it's the more obvious one that happens.
Here's pretty much everything I have to say about it. I don't have feelings about it. That's about it. I don't like. Oh, I like two of the characters. I like two of the main characters, and I like a few of the side characters. And then I hate Yoshino, and I hate the native girl who is really mad whenever anybody wants to leave. And I don't really care for the web lady. But that sort of balances out into lack of feelings. Like, I just don't. Everything that the show does by the end feels pointless, and I don't even know why I watched it.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I was thinking it was around episode 18 or 19 where they'd... So for the second half, they kind of arbitrarily decide that they want to revive this this festival that died out for reasons.
I didn't mind that, they go that into. Like, fact. That's fine. It's just everything leading up to it went so smoothly. There was, like, no conflict. It was like, oh, yeah, everybody's on board now. Woo! Oh, wait, no, we can't find that dragon statue, but we'll just use a toy instead. Woohoo!
Well, I mean, yeah, the toy thing was dumb. But I'm trying to think of what was the first episode where we talked about it. I think it was 16. And I was just listening to that, and it was really interesting because, like, Andy had a really eloquent defense of this, of how this anime was going to be really good, because it's about how, like, people grow up and how, like, this perspective of growing up makes them realize that they've made mistakes, and how people in the process of, you know, moving into adulthood, like, reorient themselves to make up for their mistakes that they made as like youths and teens.
I mean, and that was certainly the theme for the first few episodes.
I mean, I think that's actually precisely my point, just as planned, that they actually had something they wanted to say in the first core, and then they, like, it's like they didn't expect that they were going to get a second core, which is ridiculous because they knew from the beginning there's going to be 25 episodes. But very quickly, and you can agree or disagree with this, John, like, very quickly after, like, episode 15 or 16, they just really start aggressively treading water, and, like, people would have, like, these small token moments of growth. Actor Lady deciding to form a theater troupe, which was one of the better arcs, I think.
I like her, yeah. She wasn't
Computer Lady opening an office downtown. I don't know. like, but it felt like they didn't have enough material, which is ridiculous because this is an original series that was planned from the outset to be 25 episodes. And so after they got that concert to come in, and got nationally televised, and then were kind of, like, burned by that because they edited it to make them look like something other than they were.
But it still worked out. Woo.
Yeah, it still worked out great. I mean, that's actually kind of the thing. It's like things stopped messing up for them, and even their mistakes started paying off, and it just became a lot lighter and more consequence-free. And, like, the final crisis introduced, which I'll talk about vaguely to protect Andy's delicate feelings... But the final crisis that's introduced, like, everyone panics about it for an episode, and then they just, like, are okay with it. they decide to, like, just, there's, like, okay, we'll just let it happen and try to be okay.
Such a weird.
I know you want to talk about the stock thing that happens in a lot of anime, where a random American comes in and is like, "Hello, I love Japan."
That was so weird. I don't understand how that was supposed to make sense at all.
It happened really fast. It happened in the space of, like, 2 minutes of airtime, where they're like, "Oh, we could have a sister." This guy, like, no, because what's his face? The weird foreign guy is like, "Oh, I follow this guy on Twitter," and he's like, "Oh, well, we'll go meet up with him. He loves Japanese culture. We can have a sister city." And then they just, like. It's so weird.
And then it just works. And
it, like, just works.
Why does this random American mayor have any clout in this, in the country of Japan? Why? It doesn't make any sense.
It was definitely weird because it's like, is he going to go home and be like, "Guess what? I had a great time in Japan. We're the sister city with a struggling small town that's about to get absorbed by a slightly larger small town. Oops, I'm sorry. I spoiled the crisis."
And the thing about that is, like, why... Why does him existing and declaring them a sister city, if they still get absorbed, they said, "Well, this will help us keep our culture." How does that make any sense? Can't they just do that anyway? They don't need a random American to help them keep their culture.
God, nothing makes... Wouldn't it be a stronger... I'm glad that we're both getting fired up. Wouldn't it be a stronger ending for the revived festival to give them clout and not a random American that gets introduced 5 minutes before he has a plot point?
Like the... Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It didn't know what it wanted to do, which is ridiculous because, I mean, you've heard, listeners, and you remember, guys, that we were all, like, really excited with the first episode, and then it just, like, completely ran out of energy. It was like someone trying to do a marathon, started out running 100 miles an hour, and then just blew out.
You weren't excited. I just want to call you out on that.
I liked the first episode a lot, and I would back you up, guys. I was almost immediately off board by episode 4 or 5,
and then came back on board in the early teens.
Because the matchmaking stuff and even the concert stuff was really good.
I liked the episode going home, where the old people kidnapped Yoshino. That was a good episode.
Yeah,
I like the
good.
Old people. The old people are the best characters in the show, and they don't get enough focus because it's all about these stupid girls whining about not knowing what they're doing with their lives.
Yeah, God, Yoshino. I said on chat that I wanted to fall down a pit, and that's 100% true. It's just like, it's like, because at the end they're like, and Yoshino did so much to help us. I'm like, did she? Did she?
Really, all she did was like, hey, we can do this, guys. And then they all followed.
Yeah,
that's all that happened.
You had a story about like people like growing up and finding their voice. And she's just a cheerleader for other people's success. And it's a, I don't know. Oh.
Guys, you don't understand. She was there when she was a child. Yeah. It's really deep and meaningful.
That's also a random coincidence that I, well, yeah. I buy it because it's fiction and I don't care. But yeah, it doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't matter
it's
at
the
all.
Same with the fucking like. What was it, the stupid thing that they were trying to do with the, like, making a massive house and making it look really cool by...
Oh yeah, that goes nowhere. Forgotten
about, like... I mean, the last episode I watched was the school episode when they revitalized the school. And
school episode has a little bit of payoff, at least.
Yeah,
I will say that.
That was...
But, like, as opposed to, like, the anthropologist journals, remember that, John? And how go anywhere?
Here, let's introduce this really cool character and then kill him off in the same... kill him off in the same episode, and then...
Second episode, actually. He survives for 2 episodes.
And then put, like, have this stuff that we're going to, like, it's foreshadowing, because they look at this big pile of books and, like, ooh, that's really cool. And then they literally don't talk about it ever.
He's been living in that town for, like, what, 20 years, taking daily notes in these, like, softbound journals of, like, the culture of that small town. And they just kind of, like, look at him and they're like, oh, wow, he spent 20 years taking notes. End of episode. Next episode. Who? Old guy? Oh, God.
I mean, he didn't look like he really cared for them. They're probably all, like, decayed by now, those 20-year-old ones. They're probably using for fire, because he forgot.
Yep. God, yeah, I don't know. Like, nothing had any consequence. Nothing went anywhere. And it feels really weird, because, like, I keep saying, like, they planned this out from the beginning. This is the ending they planned. They weren't, like, canceled suddenly or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, I hate the reason, like, when I realized why it's called Soccer Request, I was like, oh, that's the worst.
I keep remembering and forgetting why it's called Soccer Request.
It's called
Can you remind me again?
Because they are on a quest to find the 3 things for the festival that's going to be held in the Sakura season. That's literally the reason why. Or at least that's the reason I interpreted why. And I was like,
yeah. No, I think that's right. That sounds like my faint, repeatedly repressed memory of why this sort of stuff happened. But like, I know that you actually just started watching Scrapped Princess, didn't you, John? And this is the same director as Scrapped Princess.
Is it really?
And isn't that kind of like whack? Like, they don't feel like the same person at all.
No, they definitely don't. I feel like, I mean, maybe it was just like a edict from on high or something that they wanted Soccer Quest to be super upbeat and positive, and nobody can ever fail at anything. And
they're told a lot in the first half of the show that oh, this isn't working. You think you can save this town with just one stupid plan?
That's true.
In the second half of the show, they start saving the town with literally a stupid plan of like ambushing an American bear and making him carry like the shrine thing and saying washoy a lot. Oh God,
washoy.
No, this sounds
okay.
I'm gonna have to catch up and watch it all. It sounds bad.
No, you don't. You don't have to.
I probably will.
It's not bad. It's just aggressively bland, and like the ending has like a very long victory lap of like, look at remember all these great memories and look at how all these people have grown and like, aren't you gonna miss everybody? And it kind of like felt like someone spitting in my cereal, because I was like okay, it's a bland anime and it's kind of come to an end, but then them like, oh, and remember the times we have. I'm like, I don't want to remember the times we have. I want my false memory of this anime where it hung together better than I remembered, kind of like Bartender or something.
I like also that OP, that second opening is fucking garbage. I hate
You hate that one a lot, and I don't really understand why.
I hate the song. It's terrible. And I hate the whole scene. It's badly animated. And then there's a bit where they like flick through fucking like pictures of previous scenes because they can't be asked to animate a scene. And it looks really garbage and really like early 2000s, like terrible shit where they just ran out of time and can't think of what to do with it. I just hated it. Oh, it was the worst. And I just
maybe they just ran out of budget halfway through and they didn't really know what to do besides just keep making the anime.
Yes, I mean, but it's not like I never thought the actual anime, apart from the OP, I didn't think it was badly edited. I didn't think it was badly animated either. I thought it was all going along at a nice pace. Unlike an anime that I am going to very briefly mention, because we've talked about it every podcast, A Centaur's Life, which is fucking like, okay, the anime, I've said this, the anime is not very good, but the manga and the content is incredible and is really, really interesting. And I can't stress this enough. Like, the anime is so bad, like, in the most upsetting way possible, because it's just all wrong. It's just all out of time. The punchlines don't land. A lot of the time, the voice actors feel like they're not in the same room because they've got these huge gaps between each voice line, and the sound's not there. The animation's not there. But the actual content, the actual story is really, really interesting and really fascinating and goes beyond like what a shitty, stupid monster schoolgirl's life thing should really be. I really enjoyed Centaur's Life, but I wouldn't say watch it. I'd say read it, because if you read it, you'll get the reason why I enjoy Centaur's Life more than what the actual anime is. I hope it means that the manga sells really well, because it does deserve like a good read. The anime does not deserve watching because it's very badly done. Like, there was a recent episode, like, it went from... There was a guy that was introduced in the first half who was saying how young people should, like, constantly... Like, you shouldn't, like, judge people just by who they are. And then it cuts to a 15-minute World War II concentration camp scene where... Like, I'm not kidding you, it's full on like Holocaust. Like, these people are in the monster Holocaust, and then there's like, he's like one of the Halo boys, and then this centaur is like protects him, and then they're like, oh, but he's getting more food, and they're like, yeah, but he has to because he's a bigger centaur, you're rationed to what you are, and they think that he's been taking preference. So in the end, like, one of the last scenes is a bunch of other Holocaust, like, a bunch of other people in the Holocaust fucking strangle him and kill him, and then try to attack the boy, and then just as the boy is running away, the American guys come and save the concentration camp, and he gets out, and it's fucking, like, harrowing and weird, and then it just cuts to the guy that was telling the other person not to judge people by who they are, looking at a picture of him as a kid who has been saved by the Americans, and I'm just like, the fuck did I just watch for 15 minutes? It's bizarre. It's weird. And I was like, that's so strange. And it's all like that. It's all, like, fucking weird, but I can't... I enjoyed it. It was it's a bizarre show. I really...
I mean, it sounds very... transgressive and strange.
I think I mentioned on the tweeners with like mids, like, it really does, like,
the tweeners.
Why do you always call tweeners? Tweener. Okay, so if the original TV show in America is called In Betweens, and then the British like knockoff one's called tweeners, 100% is how.
whoa! But Britain already has the In Betweeners.
Fine, so you have to do it to avoid copyright. Anyway, you and Mids were talking about. I know you talked a lot about Centaur Life after, as is this podcast trademark, after saying you didn't really want to talk about it that much. I know that I'm the most guilty of that, but
I can't even what my point is. Yeah, it's fucking weird. Don't bother watching it, but do read the manga.
Jesus Christ, Dandy. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Keyframes, a podcast about telling you not to watch anime.
I mean, do watch it. Like, it's like, but don't watch. But just like, it's not as, I just can't imagine that it'll be as good as the manga, because the manga will just have what's good about.
So what you're saying is just read the manga.
Yeah, just read the manga. Just fucking read
Unless
the
manga. You don't like reading manga, in which case watch the anime and then feel bad about not reading the manga.
Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, that's a really great segue to another show that is great, but the manga is even better, which is Sanrio Zetsubou Sensei. I know that while you were healing, John, you watched a ton of stuff, but the thing I cared the most about is possibly my favorite anime comedy, Sanrio Zetsubou Sensei.
I watched all of it. Well, I had watched the first season a while ago, and then I watched the rest of it, I don't know, like a few weeks ago. All of it, because I have nothing to do with my life right now.
Was it weird to shotgun it like that? Because it's kind of a...
It was a hard thing to watch, like, multiple episodes in a row, just because it was, like, joke, 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 and it's exhausting, because it's a very deep show with lots of layers of jokes, so having
some
all
of them are
of
important, and some
face...
of them are not important, yeah.
Sorry?
Some of them are important, and some of them are not important jokes.
Yeah, and so having that, like, all just beamed into my head very quickly was... Yeah, I couldn't watch more than a couple episodes at a time, so I would take breaks and watch something else and go back and... But yeah, it's a very funny show. And it's very, like I said, there's lots of layers. And I really enjoyed it. I kind of wish there was more.
I mean, there is the manga. And the manga is, I think, 300 chapters. But I don't know. I bought all the volumes that were printed before they first got rid of the editor who's in charge of annotating all the jokes and then stopped printing the series right up around volume 14.
Yeah, if they ever localize the anime, which I... don't see that ever happening, but man, they would have to do some work to explain those jokes.
I mean, it's we don't usually talk much about like fan subculture here, but Sanrio Zetsubou Sensei is notable for the second season literally caused a fan subgroup to break up because it was too stressful and too hard to like, because it's the sort of thing where like they'll be like, he'll be in the class and he'll be saying something that's usually like a two-layer joke about like regular society and possibly like a criticism of a celebrity or something. And then the blackboard in the back will have two or three, like, weird punny phrases or, like, odd commentaries. And oftentimes there'll be a banner, like, you know, the four-character calligraphy banners that are often in, like, schools and, like, government offices.
Yeah.
And that'll say something funny. And they'll cut to the class. And there'll be a visual joke with how the class is all seated. The guy, the balding guy who is only visible when his bald spot's showing, will be like half faded out. That's my friend's favorite character. They're all funny. Like, I mean, I know that you're a cheery fan. The proper girl who has the hair parted down the middle.
Yeah, she's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
especially once she gets like super violent.
Which as I told you, people say that like that's when the show jumped the shark. Was when like, oh, the main joke about Cheery is that she's like. She kills people to keep things neat and tidy.
Yeah, I don't care. It's fucking hilarious.
But yeah, so it's like, and so there's one episode where there was, I think it's the where they're going to have a cultural and it's a cultural athletic festival, and cultural is just means like nationwide, kind of in that context. But they have like a long joke about how they should have like cultural athletics and athletic culture. And that episode has like a lot of text in the background, and that's the last one they did because it like apparently was really hard and caused a huge fight, and AFK subs broke up over that, over having to do that episode. So
yeah, I can imagine. And yeah, I mean, if it were ever professionally localized, I can't imagine they'd care enough to put in that much work, which is a shame.
I don't think they would. I have a couple. I can't remember. There's one show I just got where there's oftentimes like stuff in the background that says something funny, and they just don't sub it.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. Is
like really good, big for that. I remember. Shinsen subs. That was a subgroup that was really good at that sort of stuff.
I miss Shinsen subs. They were really good.
Yeah, Gintama has a lot of references to things, but it's not as it's nowhere near as deep as Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei gets.
I could imagine. I haven't seen Sayonara. I think I've seen an episode or two, but I haven't seen it like all. But I just know that like Shinsen subs did a fucking like 10-minute thing about how Mahjong works so that you could understand all the Mahjong jokes in an episode of Gintama. You're just like, wow. Okay.
Because it's really interesting that just Sanrio Zetsubou Sensei exists in general, because it's Koji Kumata who later did Joshiraku, which is functionally the same premise but done by JC staff and in the back room of a Rakugo house, and just them talking off times. But yeah, he did a bunch of stuff. He did I'm looking it up now. This is the thing. Hey, Kate no Nikaizo is also another one.
Kate Nikaizo, yeah.
That's also his thing, of his creations.
That wasn't so good.
Yeah, but it's
I watched a couple of episodes of that.
It's funny because he does this. Sanjutsu Sensei especially is just him complaining about like modern society and especially like modern like fashionable trends, not necessarily fashion trends, but like in vogue trends in culture, and how they're secretly shit. and the fact that like he built up this whole really complicated show around like just complaining about, there's a thing in the manga where like there's this one really famous architect who like wears these like really chunky red glasses, and he includes a jab at how this guy's glasses are really pretentious and he's an architect and shouldn't try to look cool. Like once per volume, he's got like a joke about how like this guy is like shitty and dumb. And it's funny that like out of these really low impulses, like unworthy stuff, comes this really light, fun comedy that's like weirdly kind of like life affirming, despite it about being a teacher who wants to kill himself because well, a variety of reasons.
I like the gag later on, like near the end, that he works out, like he works out a lot, and the only thing he works out is his neck muscles, so he'll never actually die from trying to hang himself.
And unfortunately, I know the big reveal at the end, and one of the interesting things is how much that is actually kind of hinted at and spoiled in the anime, even though they had to know that they would actually never reach the ending. Because
the ending wasn't even bad, but when the anime was out. So
yeah, but by the end you get a lot of hints, and I don't want to. That's something I actually don't want to spoil for, in case like John ever reads it or something, or someone listening to this podcast.
I'm surprised there is an ending at all for that show.
Yeah, or I mean, there's a big story, you get a bunch of hints of stuff, don't you? Where like, where there's this college girl next door who like brings him food, and then partway through the show, it's revealed that it's actually one of his students dressing up as a college girl, and she's like purposely giving him food that makes him sick.
What? I missed that entirely.
Oh, you missed that part? Yeah, she's purposely like using spoiled meat in her meatloaf, so that he'll get sick. And there's nothing really comes of that, but that's like a lead into the final reveal, which congratulations, you have to read 200 chapters of manga to get to it. Although I've heard you can just start at chapter like 295 and read the last five, and you won't really miss anything.
Yeah, I have heard the last reveal is insane and has been hinted at from the beginning.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's just weird that they brought that into the manga, because I think we were talking about how like the original Berserk anime like cut out all the stuff that like alluded to it being a part of a larger fictional universe. And it's funny that not only did they not do that with Sanrio Zetsubou Sensei, which presents very much like just a simple gag manga.
Yeah, I would not guess there is any story to that anime at all.
I'll tell you after the podcast is over, if you're really curious. But
yeah, I know the things like progress and some of the characters change permanently, but I figured that was just like a lot of comedies do that, like characters change over time and there's not really any like overarching story. So I'm a little surprised by that. Now I want to read the manga.
I recommend it. It's fun. Like I think when I last time I talked about it a few episodes ago, I was talking about the episode where they make fun of like the chapter where they make fun of everyone's chins being really sharp and like old manga, like sharp chins and triangle torsos. But yeah. No, I'm glad you watched it. Now I'll have someone to back me up if I ever decide to pitch that as a spotlight. Since you watched Girls in Panzer and didn't like it as much as I do.
Yeah.
I'll revert to something else.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just not my thing.
Not into those hot tank battles.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll do the spotlight pitching segment, and hopefully we can make this one a bit of a shorter episode. Sound good?
Also, that's everybody good. Watch Concrete Revolutio. That's all I want to say.
Unless you have text.
Just do it. I need somebody to talk to about it.
I'll try.
Watch Concrete Revolutio and then write into our podcast so that John has some company.
Just anybody. Just one person in my life, please. That's all I ask.
You could go on like Reddit or 4chan and talk with those people.
Please don't say that to me.
You could tweet people.
That's not a conversation.
Hashtag Concrete Revolution is the best.
I don't want to exist.
Hashtag Revolution without the N.
As the hashtag, just that revolution without the N. Just the whole sentence.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Andy and I will be pitching our spotlight suggestions to John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Andy graciously allowed me to go first, so I'm going to continue my reign of terror, recommend these podcasts by saying
it's gonna
that
end
we
now.
Should...
I'm just
no, it's not. No, it's not. I got this locked down.
You say that, I've got the ace in the hole. You don't even know, son.
I literally don't know. So, I think that we should finally pop the bubble and we should watch a Miyazaki. Namely, we should watch Miyazaki's best and one of his most underrated movies,
Ponyo.
Which is Porco Rosso.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Why would you interrupt me when I'm giving a pitch? What the hell?
Porco Rosso is my favorite Miyazaki movie, so, you know, it's just... Good luck, Andy.
Sorry, Andy. There's a lot of reasons that Porco Rosso is great. It's squarely situated in historical context while yet being fantastic. It has some of the best anime air combat that clearly speaks to Miyazaki's love of planes. It is a really understated and... emotional story of kind of like growing old and giving up or at least making amends I think it's almost perfectly paced. I think that as opposed to most of Miyazaki's stuff that's kind of an adventure, kind of a, you know, a story of healing and moving into like a greater and more less dysfunctional social space, like this is one of kind of it's just it feels like a moment that's being perfectly captured in anime. So I love it a lot. And every time I watch it, I like it more. And that's not always the case with every Miyazaki. I've kind of grown cold on, say, Princess Mononoke, which is broadly considered to be like number one or number two best of his. So, yeah. Porco Rosso, 1992.
Yeah, I have a confession. I don't really like Princess Mononoke. I never did.
No. I think it's fine up until she starts sleeping with the wolves. And then you're like, oh, come on, get on with this movie.
I mean, but that's the hardest part.
It is the hardest part. That is true.
Sorry.
But yeah, that has really good pacing up until as soon as she leaves that that village and stays with the wolves. That's when it takes a breather. And that's when I'm like, oh, isn't it over yet?
I mean, to its credit, Porco Rosso is 90 minutes, and I believe Princess Mononoke is much longer. Yeah, 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah. So that's a
kick in the nuts there.
I'm going to confess, I really couldn't stand Porco Rosso when I first watched it. So if it gets picked, I'll enjoy seeing if I... have any other feelings apart from God, this is really boring, but yeah.
Do you like any Miyazaki?
Ponyo? No, I'm kidding. Totoro I love, obviously. That's an obvious one. I like most of them. Yeah, no, they're not all bad. I haven't seen a lot of them, to be fair.
so you don't know if you like most of them, actually.
I know I should watch more, I just can't bring myself to get around to it.
There's a certain level of cultural dominance where, like, you don't want to watch... They're everywhere, so you don't want to spend the time to watch them.
Yeah.
I think that it's a shame that Miyazaki is often held up as the good anime when there's so much more out there, and frankly, a lot of his stuff ends up feeling very, very similar to me, and I just kind of get bored of it. Mm. Porco Rosso stands out because it's different, for example.
Cool. Yeah. Well, Andy, how are you going to top that?
Well, I'm going to top it by another anime that John really loves, and to get rid of this bullshit, like, cabal between the two of you where you just pick each other's fucking choices, I'm going to choose one that John's already asked to have shown numerous times, which is Masaaki Yuasa's Mind Game.
Oh, fuck, man.
I haven't actually seen it, but I know John fucking loves it, and I want this cabal to end now! So I also really want to watch this movie. It's on Netflix. It's so it's a lot easier to watch, unlike Porco Rosso, which I think you only have to buy on DVD.
Yeah.
Otherwise, but Mind Game. I mean, it's Yuasa, so you know it's going to be inventive. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to have his distinct art style, and yeah, it's going to be good shit. So that is my hot take. I haven't actually seen it. I just want this cabal to end. Please let it end. Oh God, let it end.
Why isn't Porco Rosso on streaming?
Because none of the other Miyazaki stuff is on
streaming. Yeah, because Disney owns them and they don't do streaming.
Yeah.
Womp womp. Well, I mean, it's freely available if you're willing to just Google Porco Rosso streaming, but not legally available.
I think I have it on DVD somewhere, actually.
Yeah, so Mind Game is my favorite Yuasa work, so that's pretty cool that you both picked something like that.
He sounds so happy to choose between two of his favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how many times you've pitched Mind Game, but you've never pitched Porco Rosso. Just saying, I think if we're going
to... That's just because I wanted to avoid pitching Miyazaki. If I
we got to pop that bubble sometime. We got to have a Miyazaki.
Yeah, but yeah. We could just do it on a better Miyazaki film.
Whoa.
I don't know if there is one.
What? Ponyo?
Yeah, Ponyo.
Ponyo's garbage and you're garbage, Andy.
I know. Potomo? Fucking... We could start from the beginning and do Castle of Castelligue. Another, you know...
Bit of I fucking love that movie, too. Not gonna lie.
We could watch... pitch it, Andy.
we could watch Future Boy Conan, the entire series.
Yeah.
We could watch Nadia, which Miyazaki was supposed to direct.
Okay, I think I'm going to go with Mind Game.
Yes! Cool.
Fuck you! Because Andy's right, I have pitched it before.
You realize
I really, really want to watch it.
You realize that long term, you're going to have an uncomfortable situation where you have to pitch an anime for Andy to pick.
Oh, fuck. That changed my mind.
Too late.
Yeah, no take backs. As we head into the winter season, let's get excited to watch some anime, guys.
There's too much next season.
No, there's only a couple good ones.
There's 15 things on my list, Ben. 15.
A lot of your list is, you have a lot of legacy stuff that you should just cut that dead
wood
out.
Wait a minute, no.
Cut out some.
Do you want to go through this now? Do you want to? We can. We have time.
Sure. Let's do it. Let me open up my list.
Okay, you'll give us, this will be our game, listeners. You'll say an anime, and then Andy and I will say yay or nay.
Okay, so here we go. March Comes in Like a Lion, season 2.
Nah, cut that shit.
That's good. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, so I guess I'm not watching that one. If either of you say no, I'm not watching it.
That's one way to run this game. Okay.
Yeah. John is watching nothing next season.
Can you repeat that again?
Hazuki no Reitetsu? That's the one about like a bureaucratic Japanese hell. It's fucking hilarious.
Season 2.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hoseki no Kuni? This one is about... It's Steven Universe, the anime. There's this new race of beings called Gems
that
fight against aliens to protect themselves on Earth. It looks really pretty. That's the only reason I'm going to give it a shot, because it has really cool stuff.
Pretty ones always break your heart, though.
Yeah, well, Inuyashiki is about... Okay, so this old man gets killed by an alien crashing on Earth, and the aliens replace his body, and he becomes like a super weapon. And this also happens to another guy, and then they end up fighting because they have differences of conscience and how they should use their powers.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Manga was
like
cool.
Looks like garbage.
No, man, the manga was good. I read the manga for a while, and then I kind of fell off because I fell off all manga. But it's good. It's good. Next one, Kekkai Sensen and Beyond. I mean, yeah, I really like Kekkai Sensen. That's Blood Blockade Battlefront in English, apparently. But
it's the Trigun guy, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. The first season was great until the ending, at which point they diverged from the manga, apparently, and also it was not good. I'm hoping season 2 will capture more of what I loved about season 1, which was just a bunch of people living in this weird-ass city. Like, weird fiction, alien, demon stuff. Just, it was really cool. Kino no Tabi, the remake?
Dump that.
Nah, don't dump that. I'm watching that.
No? Okay. Ancient Magus's Bride.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be
hot. I'm tired of hearing people talk about that. So
of course you are. I'm tired of all good things. I understand.
It's not true.
I know what you mean. It's got so much hype before it's even out. It's a bit...
the hype is all for me because I repeat it a million times.
No, there's a bunch of other people I know who are just like, Ancient Magus, Ancient Magus, Ancient Magus, Ancient
Magus. Then finally one person is like, oh, I watched it too because you watched it. And then they start talking about it too. I am the source of ancient hype. Osomatsu-san season 2.
Fuck yes. That's going to be beautiful. I'm so excited.
Okay, this one is going to be terrible. Osama game, the animation. There's this like... there's a bunch of kids in a class, and there's this mysterious dude who calls himself the king, and he gives them like orders, and if they don't fulfill the orders, they die. But if they do fulfill the orders, somebody else is probably going to die. It's trash.
I've read manga like this.
Yeah, I think it's like a series of things. To be honest,
is it like a Daruma that kills people? It's like a Daruma head.
That's different. That's the world god something. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
that's different. Nice. But it's similar. It's pretty similar. And it's trash. But it's trash. I enjoy.
It looks kind of CG as well.
It'll probably be trash. Food Wars 2.
Yes. Fuck. 3, 4.
I've new dozed food off wars. Every time you guys talk about that. So, dump it.
Don't dump it. It's the best.
Shoujo Shumato Ryoko. This is about two girls traveling around a post-apocalyptic world by themselves. There's nobody else alive, so it's just them. And I don't know what it's going to be like, but I watched a PV and it looked all right.
Sounds cool.
Nah, dump it.
Oh, man. Okay, 2-car competitive motorcycle sidecar racing.
Nah, dump it.
Fight.
No, dump that, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and being Ben or
United. And then finally, the last one is Vanishing Line. And it just looked really cool, action and stuff. It looked really, really cool. It'll probably be trash too. But
you're not interested in Himoto Umaru-chan
No, I don't give a fuck about that trash.
You're not interested in the let's see if I can find the title for it.
Boku no Kanajo ga Majime Sugiro Shoujo Bitch na Ken.
No.
This is our worst thing that we do, is where we haltingly read out Japanese titles.
Hey, I feel like I read mine fairly smoothly.
How about Omiai Ate wa Oshiego Suyoki na.
Are you just
mondaji.
Picking trash ones?
Like, this is the cocktail one, isn't it?
Oh, this is the cocktail. Okay, yeah, no. I'll probably watch that. I just didn't add it to my list because I was lazy. So that's 16 on my list.
What about Neko
okay,
Power?
Okay, never mind. It's definitely not the cocktail one. It looks like a yaoi thing.
Whoa.
She looks a lot like the cocktail girl. Oh, Asake no Fufu.
There it is.
Yeah. Dikara. There you go.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'll watch that one.
Don't watch Omiai. It looks. Not
what
good.
What about Pingu in the City?
No, I'm good.
Okay, let's wrap this up. We have a lot to be excited about, clearly.
Love Live! Oh, Sunshine 2?
No Love Live.
Godzilla Kaiju Wakusei?
I have a friend who's excited about that, but she loves Godzilla,
yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah.
Weren't you excited about Black Clover too, John?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about that.
I don't know what the fuck Black Clover is.
It's a low fantasy... Yeah. About this boy who wants to be a great mage but doesn't have magic, but he finds a lucky 5-leaf clover grimoire that gives him anti-magic.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like something I'll probably watch to fill in time if I need to, but I have 16 things on my list now, so, you know.
Wait, 16? What happened?
Well, I told you, 15? I added the drinking one.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm excited about...
What's the drinking one? Sorry.
Osaka no fufu ni natekara. It's apparently a short. I don't know how long they're going to be, but between 2 and 4 minutes. And like, lady has a bad day at work. She comes home. Her husband makes her a cocktail.
Yeah.
She enjoys the cocktail, and then he tells you the ingredients.
This is made for Ben.
So it's like, well, it's
totally
like,
made for Ben.
It sounds like speed bartender, like bartender with all the bullshit. And I just, I think both of you guys can get on board with that. So
I think it sounds more like what's it called?
Wakako Zake.
Which I watched and liked a lot.
Yeah, so I'm sorry for making fun of you guys and you being like the anime that's pshoo.
For what it's worth, Black Clover looks like it's not the artist who did Seven Deadly Sins, but I think it's another one who his assistant then went on to do it. So it's the
Does
art
Black Clover
Penny's.
Feature a creepy pervert asshole main character?
I couldn't stand that main character. And
it's really bad. Yeah,
it's really bad. And also like totally not funny. And I remember, yeah. like, there was like a bit where she talks about how she designs him and makes him that, like, oh, it's really funny how he's always been a perv. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's
that's
not.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
John, did you know that there's an OVA of Space Battleship Yamato 2199 that's coming out this season?
I did not know
next
that.
Season.
No.
Huh. Did you know? Okay.
I've only just started watching the main series, so
I liked it a lot. It's one of the ones where I think it kind of supersedes the original a lot, although that should probably get me raked over coals for saying. But
is there a sequel to Girls and Panzer coming out?
There's the six movies that they're making.
Six movies?
Yes. Yes. They're like, oh, well, no, because I was talking about this, I think, with John and Duncan, where they like made an announcement like the ending of Girls and Panzer is coming. And I'm like, oh, so it's going to be like a finale movie. And then the announcement is like the first of six finale movies is coming out. It's coming out beginning of next year. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Why not just make a
series? If there's six movies, all but one is not a finale.
Why not just make a series at that point? Like, why...
Yeah,
did it not do well enough as a series? And
no, it's actually the opposite. The Girls and Panzer movie is one of the best selling movies of like the past 5 years, and so they're like, oh well, because if you work it out, six movies is about the length of a one core series. So they're basically just taking what they would have been the second season and just making six movies out of it. You thought that that three movies for the one Monogatari thing was a lot.
But they were short movies. They were like
Kizu?
About like
they're it's short-ish, Monogatari. Not super short. I have not seen part three of Kizu Monogatari yet, and
I haven't found it fan subbed anywhere, so
I missed it in theaters, unfortunately.
So you're not wanting to watch Love Kome, We Love Rice 2?
No.
No.
Oh,
okay. No, I'm good.
Just me.
I mean, I agree with you, John, that there is a higher percentage of stuff that could be better here, but it also could be garbage.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's probably all is garbage.
All but like four things on my list, I think are going to actually be really good.
What do you not believe in? Come on, let's get what do you not believe in?
What do I not believe in? I told you, yes. Osama game, the animation is going to be complete trash. Two Cars probably going to suck.
Yeah.
The gyms one's probably not going to be great. Even if it looks good right now. I don't know if I have a lot of faith in Kino's journey, but I still want to see if they improve on the original. And then the fifth one was... I don't think there was a fifth one. I said four, that's right.
Okay, one last observation before we end. I'm looking at the promo poster for Kino's Journey, and I like how it's formatted. Like, there's a bunch of characters in Kino's Journey, because it's him walking from his motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's, like, a guy in a trench coat, and a lady in, like, a duster, and then, like, a girl with a dog, and, like, a guy in a military uniform. And it's like, I don't know who these people are.
Well, no, the girl with the dog's in the last episode. The duster girl is the teacher.
So maybe it's really going to be a reboot then. That'll be weird.
It's supposed to be a reboot. Yeah.
I mean, but I thought like a reboot, but like they'd focus on different material to distinguish it from the existing one, but yeah, I guess not.
Guess is they'll have a lot of overlapping stuff and maybe some different stuff too.
I think it's going to be a full-on reboot, just do everything. I don't think it'll be in the same order, because I think that'd be dumb, but I think if anything, it might be more... what's that word? More when it's more sequential, like chronological. And I think that might happen, which I think will be a bad thing, because I like the fact that the first season was very out of order and very like out of sync with time itself. I really enjoyed that, but
I like it too. We've talked very much about how like I like that Lane is ambiguous chronology, and humanity has declined, has out of order chronology, and Haruhi is out of order chronology. I like it when they do that. And anime is one of the few mediums that does
you
that
would
pretty
love
regularly.
Concrete Revolutio, except it's not ambiguous, explicitly stated every time they jump around time. There's a title card with the date, but
see, I don't like that.
Fucking good.
That's actually literally not what I said. I like.
I know it's the opposite. I know. I'm aware of that. That was a joke. Just watch it, please.
Busy.
You're not that busy.
Yeah, you're not that busy.
You watch it at work.
I can't watch it at work. We got
caught. Actually, you could not watch that one at work. No. You fucking get so lost.
I watched some TQ at work, and that, man, there are a lot of just like, for 2 minutes of show, there's a lot of panty flashes in that anime. Surprising amounts. Like, my God, I looked like a serious pervert.
Okay, we've gone on way past the part where we ended.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Please write us in at keyframespodcast@gmail.com or tweet us at keyframespod. We'll answer any questions. We are not necessarily knowledgeable, but we're enthusiastic, and that's really what counts.
That's what matters. If Sakura Quest has taught us anything, that's what matters.
God, yeah, no, I'm definitely a computer lady in Sakura Quest. So
can we put a vow never talking about Sakura Quest ever again now? Because we've mentioned it every episode in the last, like, what feels like 5 or 6 episodes.
It's done, so we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. That's correct. Andy. We've mentioned it in 5 episodes. So yeah. As I said, I've been going back and retagging. I added a search function to the site. If you want to go to our website, keyframespodcast.com, I added a search function. I tagged more episodes. So you'll be able to search and see what we've talked about. That way I can prove that we've only talked about Saikano 3 times and not the claimed 4. And
if we did one of those like anime of the year awards, and we did it based on the anime that we talked the most about, Sakura Quest.
It'd be Saikano and then Sakura Quest.
Okay, well, Andy, John, we've had a good time. So let's go ahead and say goodbye, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.